You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
This is episode 745 of the Dressage Radio Show, official podcast of the United States Dressage Federation on the Horse Radio Network, brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products.
On tonight's show, we had a terrific trainer tip from Aaron Nichols, and eventer Alexa Thompson joins us to talk about pet peeves. Plus, a special treat from the island of Jersey with Naomi Aguilar talking about competing her spotted pony at the Grand Prix level. Listen in.
This is Reese Koffler Stanfield in Georgetown, Kentucky.
And I am Megan McIsaac from Oregon, Wisconsin, and you're listening to the Dressage Radio Show.
Hi, Megan. How are you tonight?
It's a blast. I'm so grateful to be here.
I know. It's so fun. So we are actually recording a little bit early because I am actually heading to Germany for 2 weeks with 12 great students from the University of Kentucky. What could possibly go wrong, Megan, with 12 students in Germany for 2 weeks? Nothing.
Nothing. It's going to be amazing. I cannot wait to hear about your trip. Where are you going?
I know. So this is great. Some of our listeners may remember in 2019, so before the pandemic, I actually did a study abroad with my co-person, Jill Stowe. She's wonderful. And so we have done this trip before. It's going to look a little different because obviously the world's different than it was then, but we're going to Berlin. So I've never been to Berlin. So we're going to actually land in Berlin and spend 3 nights in Berlin. And that's just going to be culture. So with the students, we're all kind of get used to Germany and we have awesome sights to see in Berlin. And then we're going to start our equine activities. We're going to ride a bus to, we'll head up to Bremen and we'll be in Bremen, I think 3 or 4 nights, which is really close to Verden and Vecta. And so that's where the Hungarian Association is. That's where Oldenburg is. There is a state holiday while we're in Vecta. So that kind of, the association's closed, the Oldenburg auction house is closed. So that's kind of a bummer, but we'll get to see it and we'll get to spend time in Vecta and then go to Schakamola. Then we're going to swing down to Munster and we'll spend 6 nights there where we'll go see my friend Michael Klimka and Fabian Schultz. We'll go to the state stud in Varndorf. Definitely some tax stores. Let's be real. So excited. And then we will do also some culture. I don't know. The university makes us do culture. I, of course, would do all horses for 2 weeks, but I'm not allowed to do that.
I think you should buy a horse.
Well, you never know. You never know. What we'll be able to do. I'll be a long time there. So I'll be seeing some really pretty ones. So, and we're going to go to Effel FX, Riesenbeck International, which is a competition. The European Championships was there, I think, last year. And then we will swing down. We'll end in Frankfurt. And I'm really excited because, Megan, you and I actually met through Mr. Schumacher, Herr Schumacher. Mm-hmm. And I lived at Neuhof for 2 years when I was in my early 20s. That was only a few years ago. So I haven't been back to Neuhof in 20 years. So I'm really excited. We kind of end our trip there and then we head back to the States. So we wanted to get our show in before I headed out, but I have lots to tell you guys, I'm sure. And I'll be online. You can grab, we'll try and share some on the Dressage Radio Show too and on my page as well. So stay tuned and I will have lots of fun stories, I'm sure.
And take your boots. I can't wait to hear about it.
I know. Take your I love it. Well, we're going to get this party started. And Glenn, you are here and I wanted to loop you in the conversation.
Yeah, I did an interview. I thought it would be it's so appropriate for your show. And it was one of my favorite interviews. You know, I do a lot of them. And it was one of my favorite interviews that I've done this year. So that says something. And right after this word from Kentucky Performance Products, we're going to go overseas. This is a little island called the Island of Jersey, which is right beside the Island of Guernsey. And any World War II buffs will know these two islands. But Naomi lives there. And we're having her on because she's a dressage rider who rides a tiny little pony at Grand Prix level. And not only a tiny little pony, I mean, she is the attention and attraction at all these shows. it's a tiny little pony riding a Grand Prix level that is spotted. And when I mean spotted, I mean spotted. So she stands out with all of the plain colored warm bloods over there. And she is a fantastic guest, and I think you guys will all enjoy this.
This Nutritional Minute is brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. Biotin is a B vitamin and has become commonplace in feed rooms across the world because of its reputation as an effective hoof supplement. An interesting fact that was discovered by researchers looking at biotin's impact on hoof quality was that horses with normal blood levels of biotin still had poor quality hoof horn, and that despite normal blood levels, horses responded to high doses of biotin given orally. This tells us that unhealthy hooves are not necessarily a result of a deficiency. Over the years, multiple other studies have found a statistically significant improvement in overall hoof condition when horses are supplemented with at least 20 milligrams of biotin per day. Researchers found that if improvement in hoof quality was seen within 8 to 15 months of supplementation, the horse would need to remain on biotin the rest of its life to maintain that improvement. Other nutrients such as zinc, methionine, and iodine can also affect hoof quality. A well-balanced hoof supplement will contain all of these nutrients in addition to the 20 milligrams of biotin per serving. When you're looking for an affordable, effective hoof supplement, we recommend Keraform Hoof and Coat Supplement. If you want a show ring shine and strong, healthy hooves, you can count on Keraform. You can learn more about Keraform at kppusa.com. Got questions about your feeding program? We can help. Email Karen at questions@kppusa.com or call us at 859-873-2974.
Hi, Naomi. Thanks for joining us today.
Oh, no problem at all. Thank you for having me.
All right. So we got to start. There's a couple stories with you I want to talk about. One is your spotted horse, obviously, that is making his ways up to the Grand Prix ranks in dressage. And you don't see that too often. But also the fact that you live on an island that's pretty isolated. So tell us where the island of Jersey is.
So we are in between the UK and France. It's a 9 by 5 mile island. So we're very secluded. Occasionally when the weather gets really bad, there's not a lot of food in the shops when the ferries can't sail. Yeah, but it's a beautiful place to live. Very, very lucky to live here. We can go swimming in the sea. We're never further than 2 miles away from a beach. So it's beautiful, beautiful place to live.
And you're not too far from Guernsey, the other island right next to you.
Not at all. So we can see that on a clear day from our cliff paths, and we can also see France from the other side of the island on a clear day.
So I have to ask you, and I've always wondered this, are the cows named after your islands, or are the islands named after the cows?
I can't tell you that. I'm not actually sure, but I live on a farm here, and we have Jersey cows just outside, and so they're a big part of the farm and the Jersey life, and they're just the most beautiful characters as well as so pretty.
And any World War II fans will know your islands because there's been multiple documentaries done. The movie Island at War, about there. There was a TV show recently that was done. I mean, there's been so much done about those particular islands, especially in relation to World War II.
Absolutely. It's a Liberation Day is coming up, and that's a huge thing for our island. And we also have a very big horse show on Liberation Day where we do a lot of showing and jumping at one of the showgrounds on the island. So there's parades going on in town, in St. Helier, which is town. It's an amazing part and an amazing community to be in here.
So tell us about horses on the island. Are there a lot, and what kind? You know, what's the story about horses there?
Yeah, so there's a lot more horses here than I think people realize. And there's horses of all disciplines. We have eventers on the island, but although we have no events, they also travel to the UK to compete there. We've got good level dressage on the island. We have British dressage shows regularly, but only throughout the summer months, and normally one a month. So we have to make sure we plan if we want to get any qualifiers for the UK. We have a British Show Jumping Association over here, which run that, and a couple of clubs. We run a club here at the farm, Home Farm Equestrian, so we're on Facebook as well. And I run that alongside a group of friends here, which is super, super fun.
Well, I live in Florida where hay is very expensive. I can't imagine what you guys have to go through because it all has to come by boat, right?
Well, not quite. So Where we live is belongs to a guy called Trevor Barrett and his wife, Karen, and he makes the hay for us. So we're very, very lucky to live here because he's a farmer and he farms a lot of the land over here, and he makes silage and hay and haylage and all sorts of farming stuff. So we're very lucky that he can make it on the island, but the shops over here, the horse shops, do have to import it from the UK if we run out.
So, and getting to shows in England, that's how long a ferry ride?
So it depends. If the weather is very kind and there's no wind, we can get the fast ferry, which is 4.5 hours. But more often than not, we have to go overnight, which is about a 12-hour ferry ride. Yeah, and the horses are very good, actually. Once they've done it a couple of times, they're pretty seasoned. But it's a 12-hour ferry ride. We have to get there an hour and a half before it sails. So if you think about that coming back from a long drive in the UK, sometimes they can be on the lorry for 15, 16 hours. So we have to give them lots of recovery mash and sloppy feeds and make sure they're all happy and well.
So they stay on the lorry? That's what happens?
Yeah, so they stay on the lorry and we go up onto the ferry, which is nice. It's got a bar, pretty windy, and a bed, and we can go down on checking them whenever. We take our dogs with us as well. They normally stay in the lorries, but the new ferry has a dog cabin, which is really cool. So we can take our dogs on the boat with us.
Oh, that's neat. And yeah. That section of sea is known to be pretty rough. Is that a problem for the horses?
So they won't travel them if it's rough. Okay. They're very, Condor are very, very good. They're huge on safety. The bigger boats are generally easier, that they're not quite as rough. The fast ferry can sometimes be a little bit rough. You get all the old sea legs on there, but they tend to be very good. And the horses travel really well, actually. I mean, touch wood, I've never had a bad journey with them, even the young ones. And if they're a bit worried, we just give them a little bit of sedation from the vets, who are really supportive, just to give them a safe journey. And then when they get older, they tend to know the deal, really.
And I can't imagine it's cheap to travel that far on a ferry.
No, so it's on a good, if you book in advance and it's not a busy season, it's about 750, but it could go up to £1,000 return. So to go and do these trips to the UK, to go and do one or two shows, which is, you know, effectively 5 minutes in the ring, it can be upwards of $2,000-$2,500.
Wow. I mean, horse shows aren't cheap anyway. You just have that added layer right there. Okay. Do you set up dressage rings on the beach and practice there? I have to know.
Oh, no, we don't. But that would be a fantastic idea.
That's what I pictured.
No, that would be a brilliant idea. We don't. We have lots of lovely sand squirrels on the island, but that would be really cool to do one day.
What about breeds on the island?
So there's actually quite a lot of cobs and natives over here. So there's lovely show horses over here as well. Bit of variety, really. We've got a couple of really nice riding schools. So we've got the old sturdy ponies that the kids can learn on. And there's some beautifully bred big dressage warm bloods over here. My youngster is bred for dressage, my 3-year-old. So he's over here. And we've got, you know, my friend has a traditional stallion, a fell stallion, a native mare. So a big, big variety. There's a couple of Clydesdales on the island. Big variety over here.
All right, so let's go back to when you were 19 years old and you made a spur-of-the-moment decision and then had to tell Dad.
So I was in my room at home, and I lived with my parents at the time, and I was just scrolling through Facebook on my laptop, the same laptop I'm talking to you on now, actually, and this little spotty pony looked at me, and he was 2 weeks old, and it just said deposit secure. So I just contacted them and said, oh my God, I have to have him. I didn't think it through, and I went downstairs and said, Dad, I bought a foal.
A lot of horses are bought that way, not thinking it through.
I didn't know where I was going to put it or what I was going to do with it or even how I was going to do what I did with it. But yeah, so I bought him, and the rest is history.
Now, what kind is he?
So he is a Knabstrapper. His father is a Knabstrapper, and his mother is an Appaloosa. And he was bred by White Hawk Stud in Bristol. So he was from the UK. So he actually travelled over on this long journey on the boat when he was 6 months old.
With those two breeds, you had to have spots. There was going to be spots.
You had to have spots. But Interestingly, his dad isn't very spotty, and his mum is just a bay colour. So there's some, I'm not very into breeding, but there's some special way that they made the most beautiful spots, which I adore.
And you started working with him. You did the training yourself. You gentled him and did all that stuff. And at what point did you see that Enzo was going to be a dressage horse?
Well, at the time, I actually did more jumping than dressage, and then I lost my nerve a little bit with jumping, and the lady I worked for at the time had a 17.2 Friesian, and I thought, my God, this isn't going to jump, so I had to learn a bit of dressage, and I just met the most lovely people along the way, and I got my older horse up to advanced medium. So at the time, for Enzo, dressage was never on the cards, and I used to sort of, he was just my little baby pony, he was a bit like a Labrador, so we used to potter around the roads and do this. I mean, I couldn't catch him at all when he came. He was totally, totally feral. We had to corner him in a corner with some fencing to get him, and we just potted around. And when he was, I broke him when he was 3.5, and we hacked for about 6 months. I actually broke him in the sea. My friend dared me to swim on top when we were walking in the sea, and I did, and he was very good. And then as we developed over the years, we've had some brilliant trainers. I used to train with Jodie Phillips, and we train with Roland Tong, and they started seeing these little glimpses and going, oh, do you know, you can actually do quite well with this. So he got through to the Peplan Championships at prelim and came eighth at the championships when he was rising five. He won the semi-finals at elementary as a six-year-old. And then when we started to get to the higher levels, I lost my nerve a little bit going to the UK in a tailcoat with these beautiful riders and these beautiful horses. And I thought, what am I doing here? I can't do this. And I had a massive confidence knock. And then actually last year, he came second at the championships at Arena UK, the Peplan Championships in the PSG. And it was a bit like I needed that confidence to be like, oh my God, we can do this. And my trainer, he's brilliant. I said to him, I only want to go to PSG. He said, no, you don't. You want to go higher. I said, no, I honestly do. And he was right. And I do. And when we started playing with the PF and the Passage, and he was like, yeah, I can do this. And I was like, oh my God, we're doing it. So we did our first Inter 2 a few weeks ago. We've got about four under our belts now. He's been amazing. The judges' comments are fantastic. And we're just sort of really enjoying the journey now. We seem to be away.
You have to be the most spotted horse there at the show.
Yes, absolutely.
Or the only spotted horse. I'm not sure which.
Yeah. So there's a couple of them here and there. There's a lady in the UK, which I'm Facebook friends with because we both have spotty horses at the higher level, and she's really, really lovely. Her horse competes at PSG and Inter 1, but Enzo's certainly the smallest. So he's 14-1 on a very good day with his specialist shoes on. But yeah, no, it's amazing.
So with high heels, he's 14-1?
Yeah, yeah. So he's actually laminitic. So I have to manage him very, very carefully. He is just a little laminitic spotty pony. And I'm sponsored. Luckily, my best friend is a vet and she runs Island Equine. And she's very supportive. And my farrier is fantastic. And we got his feet on these little 3D pads. And he's got little springy things in his feet. And he springs away.
I was looking at pictures of you riding him. How tall are you? Because you don't look too big for him.
So I'm only 5'1", which massively works in my favour because I mainly ride ponies. That's my job. So I managed to get on all the little kiddywinks ponies, which I love because, I mean, I can ride the bigger horses, but I'm much more at home on a pony.
So you must be the highlight at all the shows because you're going there and all these warm bloods kind of look the same, right? So, yeah. I mean, and you stand out. So do you find that more people are watching you? Is that a little bit of added pressure for you?
Do you know what? Yeah, I mean, I really feel pressure from the outside. Only this year I'm learning to sort of just enjoy what we've got. And, you know, he's never going to be perfect. He naturally is a little bit short in the neck. There's things that are limiting for him. But I'm actually starting to just be like, yeah, here I am with my best friend. Other people can do this too. You know, I think it's easy to watch, especially these days on social media, these beautiful big horses swanning about and it all looking so easy. But actually, you don't have to have a beautiful big warm blood to be able to go and compete at the higher levels. And the things that you don't see on social media, I mean, especially for me, it took me 2 years to get a clean flying change on Enzo. And I used to sit in the barn and cry to my friends going, oh my God, I just can't do it. And now he swings around doing one-time changes, you know, and he is still just a spotty pony that can dance, which is amazing.
So where do you see, are you going to continue to try and go up the levels with him? Or have you reached, you're pre-St. George now, right? Heading into Grand Prix?
Yes, so he's just competed PSG and Inter 1 at the championships in the UK. So I'm now sort of moving on a little bit from that. And we've just qualified for the Middle Tour Championships, which is Inter 2, which is effectively a baby Grand Prix. And I think that, you know, the Grand Prix is in breathing distance, which is really scary. I find the zigzag of the Grand Prix really hard. So I'm trying to make sure that I don't put that pressure onto him and I ride it correctly and he will just do what I tell him to do. So Grand Prix is in you know, I can feel it in my fingers, which is really exciting. So this year we're going to go and do the Midway Champs in the UK, the Middle Tour Championships. And I'm out and about showing with my friend's horses as well. We're doing a couple of the Hoys qualifiers and the London qualifiers. So if there's any dressage along the way, we'll be there and we'll just keep playing with it. We love it.
Okay, I love this. And I can imagine the freestyle music. So please tell me you're doing freestyles with this horse. And what do you do it to?
Absolutely. So his freestyle for his PSG was Sia. So it was Unstoppable. We came down the center line to Unstoppable, which is amazing.
That fits.
Yeah, and my friend wasn't quite sure when she heard the sort of reggae music from a couple of her other songs, and actually it just suits him so well, and it's just his music, so that's amazing. So now I'm going to hopefully work with my trainer this month to get a Grand Prix freestyle together and have a little play with some music and see what we can do there. So it's very special to us, the freestyles.
Yeah, reggae fits. I mean, you need something. You can't do classical or even, you know, you got to do something different with a pony that has spots like that.
Yeah, you got to be out there.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I love everything about this. And congratulations with him. It's something that you never planned on doing, but here you are. And look, you've overcome twice now confidence issues to get to the point where you are now. And would you say that it was Enzo that got you through those confidence issues? Without him, you wouldn't have done it?
Yes. I mean, for me, the pressure of the confidence was tricky because I ride for a living. Like, you know, I had owners I couldn't let down, and I put so much pressure on myself. It's only this year I'm learning to sort of, naturally quite an anxious person anyway, but it's only this year I'm starting to really enjoy the journey. But Enzo has been by my side through everything, you know, for the last 10 years. And I'm just so grateful to him because he's a quirky little guy as well. And because I'm quirky, we just kind of fit. I always joke with my friends, he's actually a little bit autistic because in the school, he's so clever. He can do anything I ask him to do, but socially wise, he can be a little bit grouchy to people he doesn't know or to horses he doesn't know. But I massively trust him, you know, when we're training and he gets a little bit spicy, I know he'll never put me on the floor. There are certain things, galloping on the beach in a group is a big no-no because I will be on the floor. And, you know, I remember we did a showing show here, and he won the rare and foreign breeds. He won the coloured class. And we went into the championship and it was sort of like, oh, come on, Enzo. And he bronked the entire gallop because it was just far too exciting. But I really, really, really trust him. And I know him inside out. So the confidence, not only as a fear point of view, but actually as a, you know what you're doing in the training. I always struggle with, you know, this imposter syndrome is huge. You know what you're doing with the training, and the fact that I've got this little spotty pony and he understands what I want from him is hugely humbling, hugely amazing for me.
I love everything about this. And you have a Facebook page where people can follow on. By the way, I found the picture of you riding in the ocean. So I'm going to put that as our show notes picture for today because I just love that picture. It's a great shot.
Yeah, my best friend, Becca, she is a photographer and she's taken photos of him from a four-year-old up. So he's got a whole journey, a whole album of thousands and thousands of photos and videos of him growing up with me.
Well, will Becca allow me to use that picture?
Absolutely. Yeah, okay. She'd love it.
Okay, good. And where can people follow you on Facebook? I noticed that you have your own Facebook page for the Spotted Pony.
Yeah, so I'm trying to get better with Facebook and Instagram to share our story. So our Instagram is spotty.dressage, and on Facebook we're Dance with the Spots, Enzo's Journey Across the Channel.
Very good. Naomi, thank you so much for joining us today. I love everything about this, and now we're going to follow you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Easy, effective, and eco-friendly fly control starts with fly predators. Fly predators are the organic, natural way to dramatically minimize your fly problem. Learn more about fly predators and other Spalding Labs fly control solutions at Spalding, Spalding-labs.com.
Well, tonight we have a very special segment. We're all excited about this. Alexa Thompson, 4-star rider. She just rode at the Defender Kentucky 3-day event. We're so proud of her. She's here in Lexington and she's also an A Pony Clubber. Alexa, welcome back to the show.
Thanks so much. Glad to be here.
Well, I want to do like a drum roll because we were all just dying before we had to get on air because we were laughing about this so much. I was like, what do you have as pet peeves? And you were like, I have so many. So I can't wait. Let's do it, girl. What are some pet peeves of yours in the barn?
Oh, gosh. I'm a big halter fanatic. So halters that are still connected to the cross ties, then I start shaking. I can't handle it. Or halters still connected to a lead rope that's hooked to the wall. I cannot deal with it. Yeah, that's a big, big no. That and the backwards clips, you know, the double-ended, you know, double-snap clips, if they're facing, the snap facing toward the horses, no, I can't handle it either. Yeah. Even if it's not my stall I'm in and changing the clip around.
I'm with you because if you've seen a horse get their eyeball caught on that, I love it. Oh, yeah. That's so gross. Yeah. Yep, I'm with you. Megan, what are some pet peeves?
I actually put my halters back a certain way on the stall.
Yeah.
And I request that all my students do it for safety. You know, if there's a barn fire, I don't want them sloppy. I want the barn to look neat, but it's also safety. You are my people.
Yes.
Love.
You know what mine is? I can't stand blankets on the ground.
No.
Can't stand it. I don't know why. I have hooks. I'm like, put it on the hook or fold it neatly. Like, I cannot stand them on the ground. That is a pet peeve of mine. There's no reason. I just don't like it. It's gross.
Let it close the door.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, just in general. I can't stand it. I can't stand it. And please fold the blanket correctly. That's why I go to Florida, because there's not a lot of blankets involved. But yes, that is a really annoying thing.
Hey, Reese, can I have a turn in this one?
Oh, of course. Yes. Glenn, in here.
Dirty water buckets. Dirty water buckets. Outside, inside, wherever. I just hate dirty water buckets.
Oh, it's so gross. Yeah. Clean your water buckets. Or I actually feed tubs too. Just rinse them out. It's easy.
Yeah,
if you wouldn't want to eat or drink out of it, then not fair for your horse too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, we did that 2 days ago. Scrubbed them out.
It's 100%. And dump the water buckets. Like, please. That's really bad. All right, Glenn, what else you got? Who else wants to jump in? I know there's more.
Pick up your manure.
Especially at the cross ties.
After yourself. Yes. Sweep.
Alexa, you were saying curry combs?
I'm a curry comb fanatic. It's like big yes. Even if they're clipped, like a gentle curry, but they all have to get curried. They deserve a good massage. I don't. We just do the like plain brush over them. No, not good enough. No. Do better.
I love it how their like little lip is. They're like, oh, I love it. Yeah. Unless I do have a man eater. He does not like to be curried, but I still curry him every day.
A little gentle curry.
I like those gloves that are like curry and you can like, I don't like when people slap the curry comb against the wall and the dirt is stuck to the wall.
Oh yeah. No, thank you. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And it leaves the mark.
You leave the mark?
Hey, I am not the one that puts hay in the car. In the back of the car.
Oh no.
Oh, that's a husband pet peeve right there. And I guarantee you 30 to 40, we've done surveys on this. 30 to 40% of our listeners right now that have cars have hay in the car. They carry the hay in the car and they never sweep it out.
We have all been in that thing where you were like,
all done it.
I mean, I'm not going to say, I've put it in a rental car before.
That makes it better.
I'm like, Glenn, what do you do if you need hay? Like, I've done it. I'm not going to lie. I've done that.
Bed in the truck. In the bed of the truck. Never put hay in a car.
But if I didn't have a truck. with me in the back of the car. I've done it.
And it never comes out of the carpet. It never comes out of the carpet, ever.
Wow.
Alexa, do you have another one? I know you do.
Poop in the arena, that is a big no-no. It's such a, or if there is a poop in the arena and nobody's gotten to it yet, when you trot through it and then spread it all over.
I'm like, first of all, yeah, exactly. Like, I know you see it. It's one poop in a 20x60 ring. Like, how can you not see it? Please do not. And then when people just sit there and you're like, gives me anxiety. I can't handle it. Okay, Maggie, what else you got?
Close the gate and the door, like, after yourself. I don't understand that. Close the door.
Or the gate.
Open. Yeah,
I think in the wind. Fun. I think, you guys, it's because we also own farms. And, like, I see a gate swinging, and I'm like, what if a storm comes and rips that thing off? Like, I'm going to have to pay for it and deal with it.
Okay. It gives you a whole different level of respect, for sure. Yeah. Appreciation. Exactly.
And the poop is annoying. Like, please get it. And you're sitting there, go get it. Like, what are you waiting for?
Okay, but how many of us have left the water filling outside in the tank and forgotten about it and walked away for a day?
Me. We've
wait,
all done
y'all.
That one.
Oh my gosh. Me. I found a TikTok that had, they used a brand new gasoline pump and they connected it to the end of their water hose. And
I
then when the
too.
Water finished, it's brilliant. I haven't done it yet, but what? Brilliant.
Huh. Yeah, brilliant.
I haven't seen that one. That's cool.
I need more information.
I saw that. I think yesterday. Yeah.
Yes. Yep.
I'll see if I can find it and send it to you. Automatic waters. I love them.
Oh, so smart.
I love it. Oh my gosh. Well, guys, this is like a therapy session. I love it, Alexa. This was so much fun. Thank you so much for your time. How can our listeners find you online to find more pet peeves?
Oh yeah, please. Come follow me on Instagram, alexa.e.thompson or Team Clear Equestrian, or maybe each. That wouldn't be bad either.
Even under the best circumstances, travel is stressful for horses. We've all been there, stuck on the side of the road in the middle of nowhere. You can make the journey knowing that US Rider is there for you. Get peace of mind on the road with U.S. Rider's nationwide 24/7 roadside assistance coverage for both you and your horse. Join today at usrider.org.
Well, for our trainer tip this week, I am thrilled to have Erin Nichols back on the show. She's a 5-star dressage rider. Erin, welcome back.
Thank you so much for having me.
You talked about having a fiery chestnut, and I now have a fiery chestnut, and how he is really energetic, and we're coming into show season, and this is definitely something people deal with. So wanted to hear about how you deal with your horse having a lot of energy at competitions.
I would say at competitions during my warm-up, I do so many transitions. Transitions are huge for a horse that is energetic and maybe a little distracted at the shows and just kind of keeps their attention on you, and doing lots of circles and serpentines, just kind of keeping their mind focused, and you can kind of focus on what you're doing and just kind of keep yourself relaxed as possible. And I've kind of found that getting on in the morning, if I have a later in the afternoon ride, just getting on and walking, maybe a little trot and canter, kind of see where your horse is at, see the energy level, see how he's feeling, how you're feeling. That always gives me a good kind of feel on how the day is going to go, and kind of help me settle my nerves and feel best as possible before I go in.
No, I love that tip, you know, because I think it's one of those things that, you know, I and Megan, I'm going to loop you in too, because I think sometimes they don't get enough energy just hand walking, or it, some
no.
competitions, you know, especially the big competitions where you're going, Erin, like there's not a lot of space you can go and hand walk or graze, like, and they don't really get enough exercise. They maybe stay within a certain spot. So I love the pre-ride or getting on in the morning. I've done that. How about you, Megan?
I have done that. I've also had students, it really helps them calm their nerves just to be in the warm-up to prepare them for oncoming traffic. And I find leading my horses, they jump around a lot, so I prefer to be in the saddle. So super tip.
Yeah. And Erin, and maybe not your horse, but I also do some lunging. I don't know how you feel about lunging.
I think lunging's great. Elian's a little too wild on the lunge line, or else I would suggest that as well. Yeah. It kind of depends on your horse and kind of if they can keep themselves in control while on a lunge line.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I agree. I also like to get them out if I can, you know, pre-ride or get them out in the morning and let them just move around. I think that also helps kind of calm their nerves or mine. You know, I have some horses where.
Exactly.
You know, it's just, I think it depends, but I really am in favor of some sort of movement, not just hand walking. I think it's great. Don't get me wrong. Like, I don't know how you girls feel, but I just don't think the horses get enough energy out. And depending on how quickly you walk. So
exactly.
It's like, you know, I see some people, I'm like, who's hand walking who? So
exactly. Yeah.
So Erin, let's say we've done our pre-ride, we've warmed up, we've done our transitions. What do you do? Like at the five star, that was such an electric atmosphere. Tell us, how do you handle that when you're going into the ring if he gets a little bit spicy?
I just tried to stay with him and kind of keep him as focused on me as possible. I think we were both kind of hearing the atmosphere around us. And so I think around the ring, I was just doing trot, walk transitions and just kind of going, okay, I'm still here with you. Stay with me. And then he kind of understands the pattern of the Grand Prix. So that kind of helps him settle into the routine a little bit. And that kind of helps me settle as well, because it's like, okay, thinking about the next movement and thinking how I'm going to ride it, that kind of helps bring the energy level down and just kind of get focused into what you're doing in the moment.
Yeah. And I think you're right. It's the routine. And it's prepping. Yeah. And, you know, the entrepreneurs, they know the test, but you kind of want them to know the test a little bit. You know, they.
Yes, mm-hmm. A little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so the horses that are the horses that are kind of wanting to know what they're expecting to happen and just be like, okay, what's coming next? And they go, oh, okay, we're at this point in the test. Okay, this is coming next. I think it helps both horse and rider to kind of settle into their groove a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I love that. And I mean, I think that also takes experience and your relationship with the horse. What do you think, Megan?
Definitely.
Totally. Totally. Do you also do any training on mindset? Like, do you visualize or anything?
I do. I have a great sports psychologist that I talk to usually before any big competition. So before the Nations Cup or the Five Star, just kind of talking through how I'm feeling and kind of just anytime I can talk through it, it helps me kind of focus on, okay, what's important here and like, how am I going to look at this in the correct mindset and just kind of give me a little bit of confidence that it's like, okay, I'm here and I'm going to go in there and do my best. And that's kind of my biggest thing is just, I'm here for experience and I'm going to go do my best.
Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome.
Well,
we're right. Rooting for you.
We are.
Thank you so much.
Follow along in your journey.
Thank you.
How can we find you online?
You can find me on Instagram at enichols24. You'll see a picture of me on my fiery chestnut.
I love it. Well, hopefully not too fiery after we've gone through our steps.
Yes, exactly.
Well, good luck and we wish you well. Well, Megan, I so enjoyed this show. I think we had such good laughs with Alexa. That was great fun. I can think of more pet peeves. I'm sure everyone's laughing too.
And it was very therapeutic to let it all go.
For all of us. I know. Well, I also want to remind everybody, we have a book club going on. We're going to get Megan the book so she can read and enjoy as well. It's called The Horse in Positive Tension by Stefan Stamer. Yeah, from horseandriderbooks.com. I think you're going to really enjoy this one. This one I read a chapter and then I take a little break and digest. So I think everyone's going to love it. So again, Trafalgar Square, horseandriderbooks.com, The Horse and Positive Tension. As always, you can find our show notes and links to today's guests on our page at horseradionetwork.com. Search Dressage Radio Show. Like us on Facebook, just search Dressage Radio Show. My website is maplecrestfarmky.com and my email is reese@horseradionetwork.com.
And my website is lindenhoff.com. We'd like to thank our friends and show sponsors, Kentucky Performance Products. If you'd like to support our show and the Horse Radio Network, you can do that through the auditor program found at thehorseradionetwork.com. I hope you join us.
As always, everyone, we love chatting with you and we can't wait till our next show.
Woohoo!